Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is so wonderful to see all of you here this morning. I better put this on, too. Thought I was forgetting something. But it's great to see all of you here, and I'm thankful for the service we had on Friday. That was wonderful, too. And I know some of you weren't able to be here, and we did miss you tremendously. But praise the Lord. We're all here today, and, well, I guess some of us are out too today. I know I did get a call yesterday from Rob, and Sophia's feeling a little sick today, so they're not here today. They decided to stay home with her, and we do miss them. And actually, you know, when part of our body is missing, we always miss those who are out, so praise the Lord. But we are going to have church this morning. We're going to sing some songs, worship God for a while, and then we're going to continue our study in Genesis. But before we do anything, we do need to pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee for this opportunity to worship thee, for we know that thou art worthy of our praise and our worship, and that we should give thee our very hearts, for thou hast done so very much for us, and that we know that we would be completely helpless and lost without thee. So we thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done for us and how thou hast brought us here. And we ask, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would be here this morning, that thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us. We ask for thy blessing upon this service today. We ask for thy guidance and thy direction. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing some songs. And if you have your Melodies of Praise hymnal, we're going to start with number 237, I've Anchored in Jesus. 237. Ocean where mighty billows roll, I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me and storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon his mercy and trust him more. I'm anchored in Jesus, the storm of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice hath stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I'm anchored in Jesus, the storms of life all brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and Savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. My faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I'm anchored in Jesus, the storms of life are brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. I'm anchored in Jesus, the storms of life will brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. I tell you what, we serve a victorious Savior this morning, and we have our victory through him. So praise the Lord. Let's go to number 294 and sing Victory in Jesus. He is our source of victory. He is the one who enables us to overcome this life and this world. We have victory in Jesus. And he has promised us that victory, and I am standing on his promises this morning. Let's go to number 30 and sing Standing on the Promises.
promises of God.
Jesus. Praise the Lord, and I am so thankful for that joy He puts in our hearts. After all He's done for us, how could we not be filled with joy? Let's go to number 71 and sing Joy Unspeakable.
Unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory.
Comes upon you, you can't even describe it with words. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee that thou hast blessed us in so many ways. We thank thee that thou hast enabled us to be here, and we thank thee that thou hast provided for our needs. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for that we know that these funds belong to thee. And we ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Barb wanted to give a praise report, so we'll let her do that right now.
But something happened and he was gone.
Praise the Lord.
I have no idea.
Praise
the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
He either picked up this deer and pulled it out of my way, or he had to pass through it. But all I could think of was, what happened?
Oh.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to sing a song. We never sang it on a Sunday before, and I've actually only sang it a couple of times. We've been kind of practicing it on Wednesday nights, and we have sheets down here, so make sure everybody gets one. It's a song called Reach Out to Jesus, which is always a good thing to do. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Well, I guess we're ready to go. Is your burden heavy as you bear it alone? Does the Well, we are going to get started in the Word now, and it's always an exciting thing to do. As most of you can probably guess, we are in the book of Genesis this morning. We're going to continue our series, which I've titled In the Beginning. We started all the way back at chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 1 of Genesis, and now we're on chapter 32 of Genesis. So we've made a lot of progress, and we're going to keep on going all the way through to the end of this book, Lord willing. If it's His will for us to do so, praise God. And we're going to continue on today in Genesis chapter 32. But before I read even one verse, I do need to pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here to study Thy scriptures. And we ask, O God, for Thy inspiration here this morning. We ask, O God, for Thy direction and Thy guidance here as we study Thy word. We ask that Thy Spirit would move in a mighty way upon us. We ask that Thy Holy Ghost would be here with us. We ask, O God, for Thy blessing. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst help us to understand what we read. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. Mold us and shape us and make us what we ought to be. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, as you may remember from our previous studies, what we're about to read today is the culmination of something that had happened way back in the earlier chapters when we first started reading about Jacob and Esau. We know there was a great sibling rivalry between them. We know that Isaac, their father, he favored Esau. Esau was a mighty hunter, and Isaac loved eating his meat, and Rebekah, their mother, she favored Jacob. And we know that Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge, and or pottage, I should say, and of course that was a very foolish thing to do, but he sold his birthright to Jacob. And we know that it wasn't too long after that that Isaac was reaching the end of his life, and he wanted to come in, he wanted his favorite son Esau to come in and bless him, so he asked him to go out and hunt some meat and bring that to him. But Rebekah, being the clever woman she was, she sent Jacob in there disguised as Esau. And Jacob took that blessing. And of course we know that Esau was very, very unhappy about this and plotted to kill Jacob just as soon as Isaac, his father, was gone. That was his plan, but of course that didn't work out that way. We know that God mightily protected Jacob, and He can do that for us too, praise the Lord. But we also see that reading this book that Jacob had a lot of growing to do too. He was obviously a flawed individual. And actually, reading all throughout the Bible, you read about a lot of flawed individuals, and despite their flaws, God used them anyway, and He does perfect us, and we get better and better in time as we serve the Lord. But as you may recall from the previous chapters, when Jacob went in disguised as Esau and went in to see Isaac and brought him meat, he told him, "The Lord thy God." He should have said the Lord our God, but he said the Lord thy God. He was not acknowledging the Lord as his God yet. But one night Jacob came to a place, and the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he saw the angels of God ascending and descending into heaven. And he woke from that dream, and he said, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not." And he called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. So the Lord was with him, and at that point, he was no longer saying, "The Lord thy God." He was saying, "The Lord my God." Praise the Lord. So we see growth there, and the Lord helped him and sustained him. Last week, we read about how he escaped from the hand of Laban with his wife and his family and his flocks. And I do believe that Laban meant to do him harm. But he had a dream from the Lord, too, and God warned him, "You better not touch Jacob." And so Laban did him no hurt, but I do believe he had intended to do so originally. And that's where we pick up on the story here in Genesis chapter 32. Jacob is now continuing on his journey. He's heading home. He wanted to go home. You know, about 20 years had passed since he left. And, you know, originally Rebekah said, "Just go away for a few days until your brother cools off." He was away for 20 years. Over 20 years, I believe, and if you can imagine, That's a long time to be away from your mom and dad. I'm sure he missed them tremendously, and I'm sure he even missed his brother Esau. But he didn't know what was going to happen here, because last time he was there, last time he was home, Esau was plotting to kill him, and now he had to go home and see what his brother was going to do. And Genesis 32, verse 1 tells us, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the angels are all around us. We don't always see them, but they're there.
Praise God.
"And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim." And that's such a wonderful thing. Yes, Jacob, he felt threatened. He was worried. He had a lot of anxiety. But God's angels were right there with him, protecting him on his journey as he went. Verse 3, "And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom." Now this is interesting, because Esau, he was also known as Edom, and he prospered too greatly. In fact, he had his own country at this point. 20 years had passed, which, you know, it's a while, but when you think about it, and being able to establish your own country, it's a fairly short span to do that. So obviously Esau was a blessed man too, and he had his own country, the country of Edom. "And he commanded them, saying, 'Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now.'" And we see throughout this chapter that Jacob, whenever he addresses Esau, he does so out of respect. He calls him Lord. And that, of course, is a title. And when it's in lowercase there, it's not referring to God. And when it is, obviously, in capitalized, then it is referring to our Lord and Savior. But when it's lowercase, that was just a title they would use sometimes. And he would refer to himself as the servant of Esau. Verse 5, "And I have oxen and asses, flocks, and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight." So he was hoping that by now Esau's anger would have cooled. He was hoping that there could be some reconciliation here, that Esau would not try to kill him, but at this point he really wasn't sure what would happen. "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him.'" If you can imagine, they come back and they say, "Esau's coming to meet you, and he's bringing 400 men. And if you're Jacob, you have to think, "Oh no, why is he bringing 400 men? Why would he do that? That seems like overkill." And I tell you what, I do believe that at this point, when Esau first left to go see Jacob, I do believe that he intended to do Jacob harm. But that all changed, and we'll see how that happened.
Yeah.
Verse 7, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands." So he's splitting up his people, his flocks, everything. He's splitting it up because he figures if we divide up, if Esau comes and goes after one group, the other group will be safe. They'll get away. "And said, 'If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape.' And Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands.'" So we see here there is great humility now in Jacob. He was a changed man. And in his desperation, there was only one thing he knew how to do. That was to cry out to God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And there's a lesson to be learned from that. When you're desperate, when you don't know what to do, you need to cry out to God.
Amen.
He will hear you. He always hears us. Praise the Lord. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And God did keep that promise. He did keep that promise. His seed was multiplied greatly, so much so that it couldn't even be numbered. And we know that one fine day, Jesus was also born of that seed. And through him, we have our salvation. Praise the Lord. You know, when he told Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed and all the families of the world would be blessed, that's what God was referring to, that Jesus would be born. That's how all the nations of the world were blessed, including us. Praise the Lord. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. So, at this point, Jacob didn't know what Esau intended to do, but he thought, I will give him a present. And it was quite a large gift. It tells us in verse 14 that it was 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams. That is a lot of animals. And animals at the time, they were equated with wealth. If you had a lot of animals, you were considered very wealthy. 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. So this is quite the extravagant gift that he has prepared for Esau, his brother. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. So he's telling his servants, go ahead of me, take these animals, let Esau see them, and when he asks what they are, tell him it's a gift from your brother. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth me and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee, that then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And, you know, it's interesting because the biggest reason that Esau was so angry with Jacob to the point that he wanted to kill him was that Jacob had stolen that blessing out from under him. And at this point, I believe what Jacob was trying to do is share that blessing with his brother. God had blessed him so much. He had given him great riches, great flocks, and so forth. And he wanted to share that. And we will continue on and see what happens. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. At this point, he only had 11 sons. Benjamin hadn't been born yet. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. So everybody went on ahead of him, and he found himself all alone. But he wasn't really all alone. There was someone else there. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So this man seemingly just came out of nowhere, and he wrestled with him all night long. He didn't know who it was yet, who he was wrestling with. But he was determined not to give up, and he wrestled all night long. And you know, sometimes when we're desperate too, sometimes we wrestle with things and we just pray and pray and pray. And sometimes you have to pray all night long. Sometimes you just have to keep going until you get an answer. And I think sometimes we give up too soon. give up before we get that answer. We should never give up. If we need something for the Lord, we need to keep seeking the Lord. Never give up. Just keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. Praise the Lord till you get that answer. But we see here that Jacob was wrestling with a man. It wasn't really a man. It just appeared to be a man. But he wrestled with him all night. He wouldn't give up until the breaking of the day. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So this, what appeared to be a man, he wrestled with Jacob. Jacob would not give in. He would not give up. And so his thigh was touched and put out of joint in the course of the wrestling. And we see here that even after that happened, Jacob wasn't ready to give up. Verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Because he wouldn't give up. He wouldn't give up. And the Lord blessed him for that. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And I think at that point, that's when Jacob realized who it was. It was God. It was God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You know, it's not a hard thing for God to put on flesh and appear as a man. In fact, we know that there was a time when he came and he wore flesh like a garment, like we would wear clothing. He put on flesh and came as the Lord Jesus in the form of a man. So I guess what you could say back here, God in the form of a man, you could say that that was Jesus. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. So he never gave up. He wrestled all night long, and God blessed him for it. Oh, if we would just not give up. If you keep going, then you'll get the blessing. Praise the Lord. But he was a little sore after that happened. So he was halted upon his thigh, it tells us. "Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids." So that moment was coming. Jacob didn't quite know what was going to happen, but God had promised to be with him, and God was going to work on all these details. I tell you what, I do believe that Esau originally intended to do harm. He was bringing 400 men, but God softened his heart. And he can do that to even the hardest of hearts. Verse 2, "And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother." We see the way he lined them up there. He wanted the ones he loved the most to be the most protected. That's why Rachel and Joseph were in the back. We know that all along he loved Rachel, and somehow he ended up with 4 wives and a whole lot of children. It wasn't in his plan, but that's just the way it worked out. But we know that he loved Rachel greatly, and he loved Joseph also. So they were in the back, but they were all approaching now to Esau. And he bowed himself to the ground 7 times as he approached Esau, his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. So praise the Lord, after all that wrestling, after all that prayer, after all that praying for a miracle, God softened Esau's heart. And when they finally saw each other, that anger and that malice, that hatred, it was gone. And Esau no longer sought to kill his brother. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, and he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. So, again, he's very humbly addressing himself as the servant of his brother Esau. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Oh, isn't that nice? Esau told him, I have enough. I don't need it. I don't have to have that. But Jacob was persistent here too. And verse 10 tells us, and Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Isn't that interesting? In those earlier chapters we read, Jacob had stolen the blessing from Esau, and here he's saying, take this blessing. I want to give this back to you. I want to give you this blessing that God has blessed me with. I want to share it with you. He really wanted his brother to take it. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. So Jacob is telling him, well, we've got children, we've got a lot of animals, we're going to have to go a little slower than you. It's going to take us a while to get there. But they're heading towards the land of Seir, which was Esau's land. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folks. Some of the folk that are with me. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau, he said, well, I'll leave some of my men with you. And Jacob said, that's all right, that's not necessary. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. So we see that even though it was a situation where he felt helpless, he didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know what his brother was going to do. He didn't know if his brother was still angry, if his brother was still going to try to kill him. But he prayed, he sought the Lord, he cried out to God. He wrestled all night long. He was persistent. And because of that, God blessed him greatly. God worked out all the details. God softened Esau's heart. And because of that, all was well. Praise the Lord. But you know, there's a blessing in being persistent. It's something we all need to learn to do. In fact, why don't we go to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Now, sometimes when we pray, we don't get an answer right away. Sometimes we have to keep going for quite some time, but never give up. Don't give up. Keep praying until you get that answer. Keep seeking the Lord with all your heart. Just don't give up. We're going to look at Luke chapter 18, the beginning of this chapter, and Jesus is going to tell a parable. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it tells us, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And yes, that is so true. We ought to always pray. The scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing. And when you need something from the Lord, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Pray all night if you have to. Verse 2, "Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man." So this was a very proud judge, an arrogant judge. He didn't fear the Lord. He didn't regard man. He just thought, "Well, I'm a judge," and he probably regarded himself as a little god sitting up there judging other people. And he is obviously very proud of himself. But verse 3 tells us, "And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary." It doesn't specify exactly what had happened to this woman, but there must have been some injustice done unto her. So she kept going back to this judge and saying, "Avenge me, judge righteously." And, you know, this was not a righteous judge. This was an unjust judge. And he didn't care about this woman, but he was getting annoyed and bothered by the fact that she kept coming back over and over and over again. Verse 4 tells us, "And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man." Isn't that awful? Isn't that terrible? And unfortunately, I think there are probably a lot of judges out there these days with that very same attitude. A lot of politicians, too. A lot of world leaders. They don't fear the Lord and they don't regard man. And that was the case with this judge. But verse 5 tells us, "Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." So in other words, he's saying, "I don't really care about this woman, but I'm sick of her coming around all the time. So I will do what she asks. I will avenge her of her adversary. I will judge righteously in this case because I am sick and tired of her coming around." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" And God, he is not an unjust judge. He is a righteous judge. And if an unjust judge, if you go to him persistently over and over again, and if he's really willing to rule in your favor, then how much more so is that the case with our God, who is not unjust but is very just? He will avenge his own elect. He will hear us when we cry out to him. And sometimes it might take a while, but we must be persistent, just as Jacob was persistent. "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Notice those words there, day and night. Sometimes you have to cry out all night to God, but you will get that answer if you keep seeking him and you never give up. "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And that's an interesting question there. But we do know that there will be a remnant when the Lord comes back. And we're so thankful to know that. But praise the Lord. I want to show you what happens when you pray without ceasing. What that can yield. What can happen when you do that. Let's go to Acts, the 12th chapter. We're going to see what happens when you pray without ceasing, when you keep going to the Lord, when you cry out to God and you never give up. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So Herod was a very evil man, a very evil king. He was persecuting the church. And he took James, the brother of John, and he had him killed. And, you know, that pleased the Jews, the religious elite, the Pharisees and so forth. They were happy to see that happening. And when Herod saw that they were pleased by this, he thought, well, I'll go one step further and take Peter. But God was going to work a mighty miracle for Peter. Verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So he went and had Peter arrested, intending fully to kill him. Of course, he wasn't going to do it right away. There was something else that Herod had to do first. There was a certain holiday that he had to celebrate. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So yes, Herod, even though he was a very evil king, he had his holidays. He liked to celebrate Easter, and that's what he was planning to do. He was going to celebrate that holiday, and afterwards he was going to have Peter killed. And, you know, I don't know of any other versions of the Bible that use the word Easter. Some people like to claim that that's a mistake, when in reality, the King James is the only one that got it right. It says Easter, not because the disciples were going to celebrate it, but because Herod was going to celebrate it. That's why that's in there. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, isn't that wonderful? They prayed without ceasing. They weren't giving up. They were just going to keep praying and praying and praying until God did something for them. They were persistent. They wouldn't give up, just as Jacob wouldn't give up. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, isn't that interesting? Peter had been arrested, and he was put in prison. He had chains on him, but what was he doing? He was sleeping. He knew that James, the brother of John, had just been killed, and he probably was smart enough to figure out that Herod intended to do the same for him, but he didn't fret. He didn't worry. He was sleeping between 2 soldiers, and they probably weren't sleeping. They had to stay awake, but Peter, he was perfectly relaxed. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how when you pray, sometimes you have to pray all night. You keep seeking God, and that's when his angels come forth. That's when his angels are around. That's when we see them. When our spiritual eyes are open, we know they're there. Praise the Lord. God will send his angels. Just as the angels were sent to Jacob, we see here that an angel is sent to Peter, who had been locked up in jail, Herod intending to kill him, but he was about to be set free. And this angel, he came along, and it tells us in verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. If you can imagine, this angel came and smote him on the side, and the chains wherewith he was bound, they fell off his hands. I'm going to tell you something. If you pray without ceasing, those chains will fall off. Whether they be spiritual or physical, those chains can be removed through the power of prayer if you're persistent, if you just never give up, if you keep seeking the Lord. Verse 8, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. You know, he had been sleeping, and all of a sudden he is awake, and this angel led him out, the chains fell off, and at first he wasn't really even sure that this could have really happened. He wasn't sure if it was true. He thought maybe he saw a vision. But God had just delivered Peter from those chains, from that prison. He had been set free. Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So that angel had done his duty. Peter was now free from this prison. And when Peter was come to himself, he finally realized, yes, this all just really happened. God had just worked a mighty miracle. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They must have been praying all night for hours and hours, praying without ceasing. It tells us in verse 5. And that's what you have to do when you need something from the Lord. The Lord heard their prayers. He sent his angel to Peter. And he was set free from that prison. He was delivered. That's what praying without ceasing can do. You can be set free from whatever it is. Praise the Lord. So Peter, he realized now what had happened. And he went to the house of John Mark. The house of Mary, rather, the mother of John Mark. And that's where a lot of the Christian people had been gathered. They were praying for Peter. Their prayers were answered. Praise the Lord. But isn't it amazing how so often when God does answer our prayers, we're shocked, we're stunned, we're surprised. We should believe him. We should expect him to answer our prayers. We should have that expectation that he will hear us when we cry out to him. Yet so many times when he does answer our prayers, undeniably so, we find it shocking. Why is that? And in this case, these people had been praying all night. Their prayers were answered. They got exactly what they asked for. But we'll see what happens when he goes and he knocks on their door. Verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She was so excited and happy to hear Peter's voice, she forgot to open the door. But she ran and she went and told everybody, Peter's out there. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Here they are praying all night for Peter for his release. And when he is released by an angel of the Lord and he goes to their house, and this young damsel comes and tells them that they got exactly what they were praying for, their response was, thou art mad. How can this be? But they got what they were asking for because they prayed without ceasing. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But no, it was Peter there at the door, set free from that prison. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished. God answered their prayers. He gave them exactly what they were asking for because they were persistent. They never gave up. They prayed without ceasing. And there is great power in that. You might have to pray all night sometimes, but if you keep praying, pray without ceasing, you will get an answer. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And James there, that's not James, the brother of John, I mentioned earlier in this chapter. We know that Herod killed him, but this was another James. It was actually James, the brother of Jesus. And he wrote the epistle of James. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. So Herod's plans were ruined through prayer. Praise the Lord. He was angry. He was upset. And you know, it was sad that he had those keepers put to death for that, but he answered for that too.
Yes.
So, and in fact, he's probably answering for it right now, in fact. And there are consequences for that, and that was obviously the wrong thing for him to do, but God did work a mighty miracle. And yes, Herod, he was angry, he was upset, but God had set Peter free, and he'll do the same for us if we but seek the Lord with our whole hearts, pray without ceasing. Maybe there's something you need even today, just call out to God, don't give up. Just as Jacob refused to give up, keep going until you get that blessing. That's the right thing to do.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy scriptures. We thank thee for the lessons thou hast taught us in thy word. We thank thee, O God, for these stories that we may read so that they may build our faith. For we know that if we are persistent, that if we seek thee with a whole heart, thou wilt hear our cry and thou wilt answer our prayers. We believe that today, Lord. We believe in the power of prayer. And we thank thee, O God, for thy many blessings. I pray that these words we read today would not leave us, but that they would stick with us. Let these words sink down deeply into our hearts. Let them inspire us. Let them inspire us to seek thee, to pray without ceasing, to call upon thy name each and every day. For we know that thou art a God, a wonder-working God, a miracle-working God, and nothing is too hard for thee, and we know that thou hearest our prayers. We thank thee again for thy blessings, Lord, and we ask that thou wouldst be with us each and every day as we move forward. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord, and we are going to sing a chorus in closing. After what we just read, it seems appropriate to sing He Set Me Free. I believe it's number 108 in the chorus book. Yep, that's correct. Number 108, He Set Me Free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Oh, hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. Praise the Lord. We are going to be having a lunch downstairs. We're hoping you can all stay for that. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.